We cannot and we never will be able to sanctify ourselves. The word sanctification in the Greek is hagiadzao. It means to continually be made holy, continually be set apart. What can we do to make ourselves more holy than we are when the blood of Jesus, his righteousness, is imputed unto us? What can we possibly add to the finished work of the cross? Nothing. And when we try, we're denying that it's really finished. We're denying the power of the blood of Christ. When we try and sanctify ourselves by what we do, we're making the cross of Christ none effect. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Because really it's the wisdom of words. It's the wisdom of man. And I don't care what it is. But the power is in the cross of Christ. The message of the cross, it's foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us that are saved, it's the power of God. Hallelujah. The answer is the cross. That's where the liberty comes from. That's where our victory comes from. That's where justification, sanctification, and one day glorification comes from. That's all by faith. You know, Revelation 12:11, Matt, if you want to put that up there, says, one day we're going to stand before God. And we're going to testify, saints of God. We are all going to testify. And we are going to say, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we loved not our lives unto the death. We overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is going to be, when I'm standing before God, what's going to be the word of my testimony? I overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and my testimony is that I was a missionary to Africa, and I went over to Philippines and preached, and I did a camp meeting class, and I, no, not when I'm standing before a holy God. I'm going to say, I overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony and the word of your testimony. Look what Jesus did. Jesus saved me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus baptized me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My testimony is going to be about Jesus. You know why? Because I had to learn to love my life unto the death. Hallelujah. I have to die. Yeah. And when you die to self, you know, like we know, this is the most famous verse at the ministry here. One of them. Second, Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny yourself. He doesn't mean deny yourself a nice car to drive. He doesn't mean deny yourself nice clothing or these things. He gives us these things. No, deny your own strength.
That's right.
And then he says, take up your cross. A cross is to die on. You know, in the Roman times, if a man was sentenced to die, they'd crucify him. They'd take him away from his home and kill him on the cross. So Jesus is saying, deny your own strength. You are not strong enough. Deny your own power source. Deny yourself and die. Die every day. Every day we must die to self and our own desires and our own ability and our own strength. And then follow me, because the next verse says, if a man should lose his life, he'll find it. But if he finds his life, for my sake, he will lose it. The other way around, I'm sorry. He will save it. Glory to God. Amen? We've got to die. Die to self. Praise the Lord. So the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, if you want to read something really interesting, I don't really have time right now, but in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 14, you will see that the ceremonial law did not please God. Think here, okay? Hebrews chapter 10, you will see that the ceremonial law was not pleasing to God. But wait a minute. God gave us the ceremonial law. He says, burn offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. What do you mean you had no pleasure? He gave us the ceremonial law. No, he didn't have pleasure in the things. He had pleasure in what those sacrifices represented.
Hallelujah.
If their faith was in the actual physical sacrifice of the animal, like, okay, I did it, then that was not accepted. You would have to sacrifice the animal understanding what it represents. Represents the finished work of Christ, his son. The sacrifice of God's son is from Genesis to Revelation. That's what this whole book's about. It's not about the physical taking of an animal to make us righteous. It's the fact that we put our faith in what that represents. That's what he said. And then he goes on to say that that we're sanctified through the body of his son, through the death of the body of the son of Jesus, of the body of Jesus. Amen? Okay, I want to get back to Galatians, because I started this last Easter, and I did chapters 1, 2, 3, and now we got 5 and 6 to go, but I think we can do it. Are you with me? Okay, because I'm a line-by-line person. I like to go expositorily, line-by-line, the best I can, you know, if you noticed, and then add where we have to, or where we feel led to. Verse one more time. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. That was a law. Circumcise the boy on the eighth day. It's a law of God. But if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now you've come to Christ, you don't need to be circumcised anymore. I mean, that's a pretty basic understanding that we're not under the law. But then there's about a million other laws that we need to also understand. If we go there, Christ will profit us nothing. Okay? Verse 3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. If we're going to go back to law, in this case, he's talking about the circumcision, law of circumcision. He says, if you're going to go back to this thing, then you got to keep all the law. And nobody can do that. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Listen, falling from grace is not sinning. Falling from grace is going back to the law. That's falling from grace. Oh man, that brother, he got into alcohol the other night and he got drunk, he fell from grace. No, he didn't. Not as long as he repented and he's still faith in Christ. You fall from grace when you go back to law. That's what the Word God says. That's when you fall from grace. That's when you fall from just receiving what Christ did. Now I'm going back to law and I'm going to earn this thing. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm not going to steal. Ten Commandments. I'm not going to bear false witness. Do you get up in the morning thinking about those things? I don't. You shouldn't. You should be thinking about Christ. You should think about your liberty in Christ. When you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Christ the righteous. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sin. We repent, he forgives us. When we sin, not if, when. But the grace of God covers it. Thank God it does. Hallelujah. You see, because the law is the strength of sin. All right? Now, I don't know how many people have heard me teach before. Raise your hand if you heard me teach before. Well, quite a bit of you. So there's some of you that haven't heard this yet. So I'm going to be like Brother Swagger. I'm going to tell you again. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of the sin nature is the law. All right? Brothers and sisters, you can learn something big right here. If you haven't seen this before, let me help you. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sin, definite article, the noun, the sin nature. The strength of the sin nature in us is the law. Amen. Amen? Well, what does that mean, Brother Dan? Well, it means this. If I go back to law to try and defeat sin, I'm going to make it worse. I'm going to strengthen it. So someone comes to me, Brother Dan, you know I love God. I've been saved 10 years. I've been in church for 10 years. I love Jesus, but I'm having a problem. I'm looking at pornography. What do I do? What do I do? He's not a hypocrite. He's asking for help. If I tell him, just try harder, brother. I'm pointing him to himself. He's not denying him. If I tell him to try harder, that's not what Jesus taught. Amen. I'm pointing to himself as the strength. The message of the cross is the power of God to us that are saved. Well, I know what you do, brother. Listen. Every time you have that temptation, just quote scripture. Just quote that scripture, it'll go. No. No, Jesus quoted more scripture than all of us, but he still had to go to the cross to pay for sin. This is a sin problem. We don't fight sin. There's nowhere in this Bible that tells us to fight against sin. We fight the good fight of faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Well, look at brother, I know what you do. You get a prayer partner, you confess your sins one to another, you know, you throw them in a fire or write them down, and then you go to a counter group and you come out with a pillow fight and you have 12 steps and in 21 days you'll have victory. How foolish does that sound? That's what God hears. No, the strength of sin is the law. Anything besides Christ and him crucified, anything will strengthen the sin nature. So you tell them, don't say no to sin, don't fight sin. Say, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you defeated sin. You died on the cross. By your blood, I have victory over sin. Point them to the victory. Point them to the righteousness of Christ. Point them to where that sin was defeated. Because if you give them a law, you're going to make the sin stronger. And now I have to give you my example. Because the Lord gave it to me. And I've used it in 19 countries. And I'm going to use it in one more country today, Baton Rouge. But anybody that has any doubt about this, let me say this. If I say this is my house, and I'm going away for a couple weeks on a vacation, and while I'm gone, I want you to watch my house. Okay? You can use everything in here, the speaker system, the chalkboard. You can see how good it works. And then you got the projector over here and the computer. Everything's yours, the light switch, bathrooms around the corner. I'll be gone 2 weeks. See you in 2 weeks. Goodbye. Here's the key. Oh, but one thing while I'm gone, don't look behind this door. Just don't look in there, okay? All right, goodbye. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to check out the computer? You want to look at the sound system? No, I gave you one law. One law to strengthen your sin there. You want to look. Now, some of you are like my wife. You could put a gun to her head, she'd never look. But her sin nature was strengthened because she wants to look. Then there's other people, like Dave Smith and I. Is he gone yet? But the sin nature was strengthened by the law. The grace of God said use everything in the room. You could have everything. The grace of God does not lead a man to sin. The grace of God is not the strength of sin. The law is the strength of sin. But I have really good news. Verse 57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over sin was won by Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's the work of the Lord? The finished work of the cross. Believing in that, putting your faith in that. That's where the victory was won, over sin. These other things don't defeat sin. Only the blood defeats sin. Let's go back to Galatians. So we're on verse 4. You've fallen from grace when you go back to law. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The hope is not like the world. I hope I win the lottery. No, this is an assurance. This word means assurance. And the righteousness by faith is the covenant we're under. That's the covenant we're under. Abraham believed God and was accounted for righteousness. It hasn't changed. He believed in the Messiah to come. We look back at the Messiah that came, and we're righteous by faith in that. That's it. Glory to God. You know, this is no pressure. This sets the captive free. This gives you liberty. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith. Not our works, not our laws, not our doings and don'ts. Our faith, glory to God. This is too easy, isn't it? It's just too good to be true, isn't it? Well, it's too good to be true that a drug addict, an alcoholic, an immoral piece of dirt person could come to Christ and one moment be changed by the power of God. That's pretty good to be true right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. A murderer. You know, there's a few of them in heaven. Starting with Moses and David, Paul, I guess, accomplice. Some of us, maybe, not me. Hallelujah. Righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Let me say it this way. When your faith is right, love will be there. Amen. You will love the brethren. You will love people. You will be a lover of mankind. You will. That's the fruit. But when you're under law, these are mean people. These are not. These people don't love you. They're trying to figure out how to take you down because you're not living just right. Not as good as they are. No, I'm telling you, that's the fruit though. When your faith is right, you will love. You go into the family worship center across the street and people are loving on you. No, they've been taught the right object of faith. This is the friendliest church on the planet that I've been in, huh? And then he says, verse 7, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who? Not what? Who? Who told you do it this way? Who told you? This is a good program. Try this. Try that. Who? Who hindered you? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Does not come from the Holy Spirit who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little law leavens the whole lump of grace. A little law. This whole thing in Galatians 5 is talking about law and grace, victory and liberty in Christ and law. A little law leavens the whole lump. That much law messes up the whole lump of faith. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will not have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. God will take care of these people. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Okay, the cross of Christ is an offense. He's writing to the church here, people. He's writing to the church. The cross is an offense to the unbeliever, and the cross is an offense to the self-righteous church who's trying to work for righteousness. It's an offense. He said he wouldn't be suffering these things if he was preaching the law. If he was preaching circumcision, he wouldn't be suffering. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Well, I don't want anybody weak of heart to hear this, but that word in the Greek is apokatastrophe. apokopaso, A-P-O-K-O-P-S-O, apokopaso. You know what it means to cut oneself off as they were circumcising themselves? It means to amputate. This is the Apostle Paul is so disgusted with this circumcision law thing, trying to be righteous by circumcision, by keeping that law, that he wishes they would just amputate themselves. That's the Holy Spirit. Let him write that. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Hallelujah. Only do not use liberty for an opportunity of the flesh. This is for that nervous person out there. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law stands fully obeyed. This is Brother Schweigert's notes. I thought it was appropriate to give you this. And if you've got expositors, you can read them. But Galatians 5:14, he says, in this, the whole law stands fully obeyed. This can be done and, in fact, will be done, providing the believer ever makes the cross of Christ the object of his faith. Accordingly to the Holy Spirit will then provide the power for us to do what we should do. And that is to remain in the covenant by faith. We will remain in the covenant by faith. And if we do, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16. This is very important. I'm going to read 16 and 17 together. Matt, you can put them up together with a dash. You know how to do that? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so they do not do the things that you will. All right. The Spirit and the flesh are against each other. The flesh is that part of us that's not been conformed yet to the image of Christ, that has not been totally sanctified, if you will, and we're still, the flesh is still in us. And the Holy Spirit and the flesh are fighting. All right? The moment we get saved, you see, the Holy Spirit in salvation and justification, the Holy Spirit is fighting for us. The Holy Spirit is saying, you're a sinner, you need Jesus. He can wash away your sin by his blood. Just repent of your sin and give your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is fighting for us. That's sanctification. That's justification. That's salvation. Give your life to Christ. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, in sanctification, once you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, now the Holy Spirit is fighting in us. First, he's fighting for us, but now he's fighting in us, trying to bring us into the image of Christ. And there's a battle going on. And it's called the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary one to another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. If you don't yield to the Holy Spirit and you try and get this done in the flesh, you're not going to get it done. Amen. But if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, I can save you 10 years right now. I'm telling you, this is probably the most pivotal thing I'm going to teach you today. Because it came by the hard way. How do we walk in the Spirit? Anybody want to know? We all want to know. How do we walk in the Spirit? And you now notice, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't say lusts. What is the lust of the flesh? Going back to law. And I'm telling you, that is what our flesh wants to do. We want to make ourselves righteous. There's something in us called the sin nature that wants to take care of business on our own. We lust against the Spirit. We're fighting the Spirit. And the lust of the flesh is to go back to law. That's the lust, singular, of the flesh. But if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Everyone look at me, please. If you can't see me, just try and bend your head around the corner. This is how we walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in you, will always, the Holy Spirit always point me to Christ. Always. I'm walking in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit says, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to Christ. He's the one that defeated everything. Whatever your need, you keep your faith in Christ and you're walking in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It does not say the lust of the flesh won't be there. The lust of the flesh is still there until we're glorified. So I'm walking in the Spirit as my faith is in Christ. The Holy Spirit saying, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the one that did it. He finished it on the cross. Put your faith in him. Don't look to these other things. My flesh wants to go this way. Now watch. Someone comes along and says, hey, we're going to have this encounter group. We're all going to do this and we're going to have a great time. You can have victory in your life, you know. My flesh says, that sounds pretty good. Oh, I would never do. What's the scripture say? Never mind what you think. The scripture says, my flesh likes this. Now, maybe that one didn't grab you, so someone else says, there's a 40-day plan. There's a 12-step plan. There's this G12 movement. You know, I've been saved like 23 years, and I mean, it started with laughing. Then there was gold dust. Then they were falling out. Then they were rolling around. You know what I'm talking about. Then there was 12 steps, 40 days, 21 days. There's always something new. You know why there's something new? They don't work. Hello. So I'm walking in the Spirit, and my flesh says, that sounds good. But then the Holy Spirit, no. No, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm keeping my eyes on Christ. I'm not going back to these things. These things are laws. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit wants us to know the lust of the flesh is going back to law. Look at verse 18. But if I'm led of the Spirit, I'm not under law. There's only two ways to live, grace or law. You can't have both. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation that says, you know, I wish that you were hot or cold, and if you were, but if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And I've never heard anybody explain that. You know, I've never really grabbed on to someone that's explained that before, but I did hear one guy say this, and maybe it's right. If you're hot, you're on fire for Jesus, you're loving Christ, you're bought by the blood, and you're saved. And if you're cold, that means I can still reach you because you're under law, you're not saved, you're an unbeliever, and I wish you were cold. But if you're lukewarm, if you've got grace mixed with law, then I have to spew out of my mouth. I just don't know if that's right or not, but it could be. Because I always said, well, you know, I wish that you were hot or cold. Well, why would you want somebody cold, Lord? Because he can still reach them. But that self-righteous person under law, that person who's trying to sanctify themselves, that person who was saved by grace and then let law creep back in and move their faith, they're lukewarm. Anyway, that's just a thought. Okay, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, are you ready? That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice such things, okay? If you have an outburst of wrath, you're not going to hell. If you have a selfish ambition or envy somebody or even drunkenness, these are the works of the flesh. When you go back under, these things are going to happen because you don't have the victory. This can happen. Well, if you practice these things, you're thumbing your nose at God and I'm just going to go ahead anyway, well, then you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you notice this? I love this. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, we can't even control ourselves. Amen. It's a fruit of the Spirit. As my faith is in Christ, the Holy Spirit will produce this fruit, and part of the fruit is self-control. So if I'm having a problem losing weight, I can't control that myself. And if I say, well, I'm not eating pizza, oh boy, guess what I just did? I made a law. I mean, I'm challenging you to listen to what I say, not what I do. No, it works. It actually does. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Against such, there is no law. You don't need a law against love. You don't need a law against long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and goodness. You don't need a law against peace. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm excited and happy because I think I'm going to make it through part of six here. And then I can tell Brother Lauren that I did it. Praise the Lord. Liberty. Liberty. But we're not to use our liberty as license. Amen? Doesn't mean just go ahead and sin, God forbid. Anybody's got that out of this teaching today, then you're misunderstanding. And you need to just study the scriptures yourself, because that's not what I'm teaching. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. No, God forbid. He hates sin. He loves the sinner, but hates sin. You know? Okay, chapter 6. This is going to be important, which all scripture is. Brethren, talking to brothers and sisters, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is overtaken, it means by surprise, prolambano. It's a Greek word that means by surprise. If you're overtaken, like you just, it happened. You know, I came out of work and I've only been saved a couple of years, and the guys at construction jobs said, come on, we're only going to stop for one. You don't have to drink. You can have a Coke. All right. And next thing you know, I had a beer. And then two beers led to five. And pretty soon I'm drunk driving home with half my paycheck. And I was overtaken by a trespass. Now, obviously, I repent. I mean, you can't restore a person who doesn't repent of that. All right? If the person's like, oh, well, too bad. No, that's not the person that the Holy Spirit's talking about. But if that person repents in the morning, you know what we're supposed to do? Come on, brother, it's okay. Look, point them to the cross. Point them to where the victory was won. Tell them next time that temptation comes, walk in the Spirit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. But only those that are spiritual can restore. Look at the scripture. You who are spiritual, restore. Restoration and forgiveness are two different things. I can forgive you. Amanda, it's really okay. I know you didn't mean to do it. It's all right. I forgive you. It's okay. We don't have to worry about it. Never talk it up about it anymore. But look, I'm getting further and further away here. Yeah. I can forgive from 10,000 miles away and mean it. Yeah. But restoration's a different animal. Restoration is when I put that person back in their right place in Christ. And I can't do that unless I'm spiritual. Now, being spiritual doesn't mean I read the Bible more than you, or I've gone to church more than you. It means I understand the grace of God. I'm growing in grace and the knowledge of Him. I know that in me dwells no good thing, but Jesus. Hallelujah. and the same Jesus in me is the same Jesus in her, and now I can restore her to her rightful place. Because I understand spiritual things. I understand where the victory was won. I understand why and how I have victory in my life. And the grace of God flowing out of... I remember this. Actually, I shared it on the message of the cross the other morning. Maybe you didn't hear it, but it was this. It just reminded me. There was a guy... I was saved 2 years out of all kinds of evil. And I was saved 2 years and walked into the church across the street here. And there was a guy smoking on the steps. And it kind of went like this. Guy smoking? Wow. I go into church, I sit down, sitting there waiting for the preacher to start, the music start, and here comes the guy, and he sits right over there. It's across the street, about 1997. So I go, look at this guy. He's in church, he was just smoking, I can't believe this. And then the preacher came out, who happened to be Lauren Larson, and he preached on the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit, it came to me this way. This is how I got it. The revelation was like, wait a minute. You mean the grace that you gave me and forgave me of all these things I've done for 20-some years, that grace I'm supposed to give to him? But he was smoking. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, my son, your brother, has a problem with nicotine and we're working on it. But you have a bigger problem. You're self-righteous. And you got a big problem going on here. And thank the Lord that he showed me that day. And I've been growing in grace and the knowledge of him ever since. And I'm the spiritual one, I mean, if you are, growing in grace. And then you're able to restore. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, since so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? To love. That's the law of Christ, to love. But bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens, you have to get dirty. You might have to get blood on you and sweat on you. When you bear someone up, you take them and you bear them up. You know, you're going to help them through this thing. You're going to point them to the victory. Restoration and forgiveness are two different things. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Jeremiah 17:9 says, for the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who could know it? We don't even know how deceitful and wicked our heart is. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What does the Holy Spirit mean here? Let him examine his own work. What is our work? All right, I know we've been at this a while and we're getting a little tired. You got about 5 more minutes. It's quarter of now. We'll be done in 5 or 7 minutes. What is the work he's talking about? Examine his own work. It's the word in the Greek, ergon. E-R-G-O-N. It's a noun. It's not a verb. It's a noun. And Jesus would tell the disciples this. Because they came to Jesus. Look at John 6:28. They came to Jesus and they said, just like you and I might, what must we do to work the works of God? And they're looking for answers like, well, you evangelize and you teach and you preach and you give money and you mow your neighbor's lawn and you go to the hospital and pray for the sick, and this is the work of God. Well, Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent. Simple faith. That's our work. That's our work. That's who we are. See, that word ergon, the noun, it means what you're occupied with. It means your occupation. A plumber, that's his work. His labor is changing the toilet or running a water line. Our work is to believe, and then our labor will be to teach a class or be a pastor or minister to the children, whatever. But our work is to believe upon the one he sent. Now go back to Galatians verse 4, 6, 4, and read it again for the first time. But let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Verse 6, let him who was taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. If you know you're spiritual and you can restore some, you're going to go tell him, hey, the victory's in the cross. The victory's in the finished work. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that also he shall reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us now not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And then he says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's why the cross is an offense. Because these people have other faith. They have their faith in something else. They have a different agenda. And when you preach the cross, it's an offense. Because, look at, purpose-driven, 12 steps, all these things, they're compatible. They just get along fine. I mean, hey, big deal. I don't have a problem with you. What, you're, I'm good. You're G12, that's fine. I'm K29, I'm, you know, whatever. No, really. But the message of the cross is not compatible. It's not compatible with anything else. It's an offense to the church. It's an offense. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Really, think about it. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Glory to God. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross. And Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. By the law of faith. Glory to God. The boasting is in the law of faith. The boasting is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the cross, that's where we boast. That's what I'm here to give you today. That's what I'm telling you. That's where we're pointing. Why? Because I've been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. No law. No law. Anything that's not faith in Christ is a law. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble you. Let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. 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 So if we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust. If we stand fast in the liberty in which we have in Christ and do not be entangled again, going back with the yoke of bondage, which is law, we will have victory. Yes. We will have, and if there's someone you need to restore in your heart and life right now, you need to do it right now. And let me help you with something. If you're thinking of somebody, as we went through that chapter six, then you haven't done it yet. Let's stand for a minute, please. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Oh, Jesus, we want to start this camp meeting outright, Lord. We don't want to have anyone in our lives that deserve restoration that we haven't restored, Lord. We believe that we're spiritual as we keep our faith in you, Lord God. That spiritual one is the only one that can restore that person. And right now, Father, I'm asking you to reach down and touch each one of our hearts and show us anyone in our lives that need restoration. And right now, Lord, we give them to you. We bear them up. We're going to call them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to point them to the finished work of Christ. We're not going to be judging them anymore. And when unforgiveness, Lord, has to go. And when unforgiveness is gone, now we restore, Father. Let them restore to the proper place that you put them, God. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the restoration of the loved ones. We thank you, Lord, God, that you are the one that can do that through us, Lord, as we keep our faith in you. I love you. I believe you. We'll do this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand fast. Stand fast. Hallelujah. Some of you missed the offering. This goes to the ministry. It's not, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with me, but I'm telling you that John will talk to you.
Yeah, if you missed.
Praise God.
If you missed the offering earlier, come on up here. We've got some more slips. We've also got the handout. I'd like to copy the handout. Got some more slips up here, and if you missed the offering earlier, come on up, and we have some slips of the handout.
Your sister was right there to help you.
Here, you want to help you pass them out?
Hang on 1 second. You know, sometimes I just want to make sure.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah, definitely.
That's you right. Want to speak, wife? I see you got the mic.
Yeah.
Just give me 1 second. All right. All right.